Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the last few weeks, our gospel readings have forced us to wrestle with some difficult concepts. The dishonest manager who tried to make friends for himself by summoning the debtors of his master and reducing their debts. Jesus being chastised for healing on the Sabbath. Jesus talking about hating anything or anyone that prevents a person from following him. In comparison to past weeks, today's passage seems simple. The message, easy to understand. It involves two men, a Pharisee, and a tax collector. So many times in Luke's gospel, Pharisees and tax collectors are pitted against each other like two football teams. Team Pharisee, the righteous ones, the ones who play by the rules, the ones without a speck of dirt on them. Team tax collector, the despised ones, the ones who break the rules, the ones covered in mud. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of reversal, where the last go first, the first go last, the humble are exalted, and the exalted are humbled. Thus, Team Pharisee, the ones who should be the obvious winners, are the losers, and Team tax collector, the ones who shouldn't have a prayer in the world of winning, get the trophy. You have to remember that Pharisees are not bad people. Instead, they are the ones who hold the law in high regard. They are expected to be good, upright, and honorable. Tax collectors, in contrast, were hated. They made their living by collecting taxes for the Romans. Whatever they collected above what was owed was kept by them as their salary. By the very nature of their profession, they are seen as sinners. They are traitors to their own people. So, in our gospel reading today, what did the Pharisee do wrong? And what did the tax collector do right? Why is the despised tax collector the one who goes home justified? Both go up to the temple to pray, and they both go down afterward. This appears to be a time of public worship where during the service they both utter private prayers. This may have been during the morning or evening when the atoning sacrifice was made on behalf of all the people. Once the sacrifice had been made and their sins had been covered, the way to God was open. As the incense rose, the worshipers offered their personal petitions. The Pharisee stands by himself because he considers himself righteous and despises others who are not like him. The tax collector stands far away, at the very back or side of the worship space. The two men pray, but their prayers sound very different. Look at the prayer of the Pharisee and notice the number of times that you see the word I. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Then he lists various sinners before going back to himself. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. I. It is likely that he is praying aloud, which serves to remind everyone who can hear him how pious and righteous he is. As he stands apart from the other worshipers and prays aloud, he offers a few words of judgment as well as instruction in righteousness to those worshipers around him. The tax collector, standing far off, does not even look to heaven. He looks down, beating his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He does not compare himself with anyone else. He does not ask God to consider his sins to be less than any of the other worshipers. He does not attempt to explain or justify any of his sinful behavior. At the beginning of the lesson, we read that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be moral and virtuous, upright in character, in compliance with the laws and standards of the society, free from sin or guilt. The Pharisee clearly is righteous. He is a model of virtue, and he is right. He is not like other men in that he is not a thief, a rogue, an adulterer, or a tax collector. He has not only kept the law, but gone beyond its requirements. He meets the American slang definition of righteous. He is awesome. He prides himself on being a perfect example. No, a more than perfect example of what it is to be a follower of the law. But while he is righteous, he is not justified. What does it mean then to be justified? Before I was a pastor, before I was a lawyer, I was a copy editor. Part of my job was to be sure that the copy we had was camera ready, ready to be printed. Sometimes it meant correcting justification errors. We used justified alignment, a very common choice for newspapers because of the neat, straight edge appearance on both sides of the column. It looks clean and formal, and the text takes up less room than other alignments. Improper justification is a formatting problem that prevents the lines on a page from looking the way that they should. Making sure that the copy was justified meant putting it into correct alignment. That's the image I think of when I think of justification as it is depicted in this parable, being in alignment with God. That's the problem with the Pharisee's prayer. It is out of alignment with God's will. It is focused inward rather than toward God. It demonstrates that he trusts in himself rather than in God. It is about the things that he has done, not what God has done or what God will do. The Pharisee is righteous because of what he has been able to accomplish, but he is not justified. His faith is in himself rather than in God. In contrast, the tax collector's prayer acknowledges his sinfulness and his brokenness. He does not lift his eyes toward heaven, but he lifts his heart to God as he begs for God's mercy. He knows that he is out of alignment with God's will. He seeks God's mercy not because of who he is, but because of who God is. As one commentator stated, he stands afar off, anxious not to be seen, sensing his unworthiness to stand with the participants. In brokenness, he longs to be a part of it all. He yearns that he might stand with the righteous. In deep remorse, he strikes his chest and cries out in repentance and hope, "Oh God, let it be for me. Make an atonement for me, a sinner." There in the temple, this humble man, aware of his own sin and unworthiness, with no merit of his own to commend him, longs that the great dramatic atonement sacrifice might apply to him. The last stanza tells us that indeed it does. If we think of this parable as giving an example of how we should pray, we can easily fall into a trap. Lord, thank you for not making me like this Pharisee, self-righteous, trusting in his own merits. looking down at people like the tax collector. Yes, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people who are such good examples of how not to pray. I come to worship regularly. I give a portion of my earnings to the poor. I take pride in my humility. Do you see the problem? Jesus is not saying that we should not thank God for the blessings that we've received. Indeed, God deserves our thanks and praise, for all that we have comes from God. God does not need a litany of reasons why we are important, reasons why we think we are better than other people, reasons why God should answer our prayers rather than the prayers of those people. God desires that we trust not in ourselves, but in God, that we acknowledge that we are sinners unable to keep God's commandments, and that we come in prayer seeking to be brought back into alignment with God's will through God's mercy. The tax collector asks God to judge him, not based on what he has done, but based on who God is. God declares that this man, who has fallen out of alignment with God's will, is justified. He is justified not because of his own merits, but because God says so. Lord, teach us to pray as the tax collector did, to come to you in humility, acknowledging our sinfulness and brokenness and our need for your grace and mercy. Let us turn to you in true repentance for our sins. Help us to trust in you rather than in ourselves and our accomplishments. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is